Now back to the Tribune's Rick Pearson. It's the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN.
Good Sunday morning, everyone. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune, and this is the second hour of your Sunday Spin, our weekly look at politics. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Right now, we're going to speak to State Senator Andy Menar, a Democratic State Senator from Bunker Hill down in Macoupin County. And Senator Menar, you've been in the news a little bit lately.
Good morning, Rick. Thanks for having me.
Good morning. Thanks. Thanks for joining me this morning. And the reason that I wanted to have Senator Menar on the show is because last week he unveiled the, I guess I'd call it the latest iteration of your very dedicated efforts to try to change the state school aid formula, change the way that state dollars are distributed to local school districts. And this is just a, it's such a difficult issue.
Oh, without a doubt. You know, I was looking this morning, Rick, last time I was on the show, which I think was the first time I was on your show, it was about a year and a half ago. And this is actually our third attempt with an actual bill. You know, we're not just talking about the issue. We're trying to file a specific legislation, because I think that's part of the effort that has to go on in Springfield in order to change what is the least equitable system of public school finance in the country. So we're not attacking this through rhetoric. We're trying to do it through specific legislation, and the bill that we filed this week was a continuation of that effort.
Now, I wrote a story that kind of was using your legislation as kind of a launch point of just about the difficult politics, the political road ahead in any efforts to try to change school funding. And, you know, for years, let's face it, we've talked about a state that really kind of defines the way it funds its schools by virtue of what zip code you live in. And about whether that is truly a fair way to do it, and denying children in less property wealth school districts the same opportunities that others have.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. And I don't think there's too many people in Springfield. You know, when I talk to lawmakers of both sides of the aisle from all parts of the state, no one's denying the inequity. And that wasn't the case a year ago. I think there was still some belief that, you know, maybe this problem isn't as bad as what, you know, we read about, or, you know, maybe that's a little overstated, but I think we've gotten over that, you know, kind of that challenge that there really is deep inequity in Illinois. And you don't have to go too far. You can look at neighboring districts in the suburbs, for example, where one school district spends well over what's adequate, you know, well over what's adequate, maybe double, for example. And you have a neighboring school district that's just struggling to do basic core services of what we think, all of us think a school district should offer. So I think we're over that hump. And you know, to the credit of many, you know, Democrats and Republicans, this is now a daily conversation across the state. And I think that's a step forward, because now we have to figure out, what do we do to fix it? How long is that going to take? Because it's not going to change overnight. You know, this is something that's been decades in the works in Illinois. And so what my focus is let's have this conversation in a real way in Springfield, based on legislation, not, you know, the political rhetoric that comes with school funding, which is as charged as it gets. But let's talk about, how do we put a stop to the system we have? How do we transition over time to a new system, knowing that process will benefit kids regardless of where they live in the state?
So maybe without going into the deep dive into this, into changing the formula, I mean, maybe you could just kind of outline what you're looking to do here.
Sure. It's a straight up proposal that says that we should prioritize how we spend our money, about, you know, between $12 and $13 billion in the state budget. We should change how we prioritize that money, and how it's distributed to school districts. We distribute money based on a formula that was put in place in 1997 under bipartisan General Assembly and Governor Edgar. And we know, and everybody listening knows, that the state, all parts of the state, have changed significantly since 1997, but we still distribute the money the same way. So the bill simply says that we should prioritize our money first in districts that need the most resources, that have the highest rates of poverty, the highest rates of concentration of poverty, the most numbers of bilingual students, the things that truly drive the cost of a school district that aren't recognized to the extent that they ought to be in today's distribution model of money to schools. So whether we have a lot of money in the state budget, which we don't today, clearly we're struggling, or whether we have a mountain of money to distribute, how we distribute that money has a severe impact on school districts. And we haven't changed it at all since 1997. So we're saying let's prioritize our money first so that the schools spending the least adequate amount of money are prioritized at the front of the line. Today, Rick, they're at the back of the line. And that's why that gap gets wider and has gotten wider and will continue to get wider if we don't change something.
And of course, when we talk about school funding, we always are confronted with that issue of the winners and the loser districts, the have districts, the have not districts, and the suburban districts that many suburban districts that don't receive a very much money from the state, but yet they're reluctant to give that up.
Yeah, this is the biggest struggle, and not just bills that I've proposed or my colleagues have proposed, but this is the biggest struggle in a budgetary conversation as well. The idea that we have proposals on the table where some districts would gain money and other districts would lose money, and my approach to that has not been insensitive to reductions. But I want to remind everyone that we have a system of winners and losers today. Every year, our funding formula, not just the one that I've been proposing, but the one that's in place today, sets up and creates a system of winners and losers. But under today's formula, the losers are the districts that have the most challenges, the highest rates of poverty, and more oftentimes than not, the highest rates of taxes. So we have winners and losers today, and it's severe, and it's something that we have to talk about and tackle. That is, as you know, Rick, is not an easy thing to do. And the governor has talked about this extensively, but the governor's own budget proposal, for example, to illustrate my point, the governor's own budget proposal has winners and losers, and he doesn't talk about that too much. He has proposed a budget that fully funds the current foundation level, but that still sets up sending less money to districts that have the highest rates of poverty from the state government. And that is the challenge that we have, not just with Governor Rauner's proposal, but with any number of proposals that we've looked at.
We're speaking with State Senator Andy Menar, Democratic State Senator from Bunker Hill, about his proposal to change the way that the state sends out its share of dollars to local school districts. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Friends from Blackest Crow helping with provide us with a little bit of music this morning. BlackestCrowMusic.com for more information. We're speaking with State Senator Andy Menar, Democratic State Senator from Bunker Hill down in Macoupin County, about his proposal to change the way the state distributes the state share of dollars to public schools. And Senator, I know that this latest proposal also does take into consideration some aspects involving the Chicago public schools. Could you address those?
Yeah, it does. Part of what we're trying to accomplish here is a, a system that, as close as possible, treats every district in the state in the same way. And we have today in our system today, Rick, special deals for different types of school districts. You know, for example, the Chicago Block Grant that guarantees the Chicago Public School System a certain amount of money from different programs in the state budget that they access, a guaranteed amount of money that was set up 20 years ago for the Chicago Public School System. You know, on the other end of the spectrum, we have transportation dollars that are accessed more easily by districts that have a large rural footprint, for example, or that have big busing costs because they have to move kids long distances. We have other programs that suburban districts access to a greater extent than other school districts. So we have this system that sets up this idea that some districts have access to some money and others have access to other money, but doesn't allow the same access in the state budget for every district. So you don't have to look too much further than CPS to find a glaring example of this, where the Chicago public school system pays for nearly its entire cost of its pension system, while 865 or 66 other school districts in Illinois have nearly all of their costs paid for into the teacher retirement system, or TRS, through payments appropriated by the General Assembly in the state budget. So that is just one example. That's a charged one, right? That's one that is politically charged when we talk about it. But that's just one example of many in our law today, in the laws of the state, supported by our budget, where we set up a system where schools are looked at and treated differently by our public policy. I would argue that type of approach, which was employed 20 years ago again, has set up this system of deep inequity in the state and has made it very challenging to change. You know, that's a tough one to just, not even to change, just to propose. But, you know, I was in Taylorville in my district the other night at a town hall meeting on this issue, where they have laid off 40%. That school district has laid off 40% of their teachers and staff in the past couple of years because their poverty rate's growing. Their state aid, despite the fact the state is spending more, is declining. They are, you know, what I call the ground zero of this problem. And I stood up in front of that crew of about 100 people, parents, teachers, administrators, and said, you know, we have to deal with this pension issue because we have this just glaring inconsistency in our law. And, of course, that's not going to get me any votes in my district, Rick.
No, and in fact, I pointed out in the story that there's inherent risks among always among downstate lawmakers, regardless of party, but downstate lawmakers, if it appears Chicago might get something and there isn't any kind of an exchange for lawmakers of central and southern Illinois.
Yeah, that's why our bill, Senate Bill 231, would propose to take major steps toward pension parity between school districts. But at the same time, it would remove the guarantee that Chicago Public Schools gets through its block grant. And that, I think, would get us, by the way, that's not set up to make the bill more politically palatable, although I think you could argue it does. It's set up to take major steps toward a statewide system, which we have, and addressing a statewide problem which exists today.
Senator Menard, I want to ask you, this is a question from a Tribune reader that had read my story, and he is a resident of Grays Lake in suburban Chicago, and kind of questions the issue of helping the Chicago Public Schools, given the fact that you have the different rate of assessments in Cook County versus the rest of the state, and when it comes to, you know, how property values are reflected on property taxes. And, I mean, should that be an issue concern, you know, to be considered in all of this?
Well, I'm not sure if the values itself should be, but, you know, we've had discussions. And if you go back to the EFAC, Education Funding Advisory Committee.
See, I knew you were going to go geeky on me.
It's hard not to.
I understand.
You know, if you go back to our bipartisan hearings we had in the Senate, you know, here's another area where we have to have this conversation, which is difficult, where, you know, the tax rates and the level of taxes that are being put on the table by local school districts between Chicago and the rest of the state. This is an issue that, you know, that suburban representation in the General Assembly brings up, and it's a legitimate issue. That we have to have more parity when it comes to how much do local units of government, in this case, school districts, put on the table so that we have a better balance of state and local funds to fund school districts in Illinois while prioritizing state resources to try to mitigate those large gaps where, for example, districts like East St. Louis couldn't tax themselves enough, even if they wanted to,
and already
equity on their own,
and already are taxing at very high rates. But there's no property wealth.
There's no property, correct? But in Chicago, that argument doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. So that has to be part of this discussion too.
So, what's the next step here? I know that. Certainly, Senate President Cullerton is supportive of this legislation, but then we look at across the chambers to the House, and Speaker Madigan, for one, has been more of the position, particularly about the pension issue, about that ought to be a local district, local taxpayer pickup, not a state pickup.
Yeah, that's something that Speaker Madigan has talked about now for, you know, quite some time. I think going back to when we started our process in the Senate to focus on the funding formula aspects of the conversation. I would make the argument, though, that, you know, if that's a proposal that any member of the General Assembly wants to put forward, then let's commit it to legislation and let's have that debate. There's all kinds of ramifications of that because we're talking about billions of dollars there. What we've tried to do in this bill is let's get everyone to the same starting point when it comes to pension parity, because that gets us closer to a system that treats school districts as equally as possible in Illinois. But, you know, how I started, you know, the conversation this morning, Rick, is let's talk about actual legislation and let's commit our ideas, as difficult as they may be, to legislation, because I think that helps the conversation.
Well, and as you said in unveiling this, that if there's one thing, you're open to all the hearing from everybody, but if there's one thing you don't want to hear, it's, oh, we need to study this some more.
Well, that's right, and we've studied this. There's mountains of work about Illinois and how awful our system is. You know, you could take any metric, Rick, and apply a metric to our state today, and we're not going to be anywhere near the middle of the pack, let alone leading the pack. And to get us in a different direction, again, it's going to take time. This isn't going to happen overnight, but we have to recognize that, you know, for example, in Illinois, when you have a student that lives in poverty and one that doesn't, we spend $2,500 on average more on that student that doesn't live in poverty. That's the most regressive system in the country. African American and Latino students on average have about $2,000 less spent per year on their education compared to their white counterparts. That's hard to hear. It's really hard to say, too, but that's reality today. And, you know, there's other things, for example, you know, mandate relief. That ought to be part of this discussion as well. Representative Sandak, for example, has a bill that's in the House that had a hearing this week. We should work through these issues because I think there's a place where Republicans and Democrats can come to some reasonable middle ground to be part of this larger effort to, over time, make a system in the state that serves all students better.
That's State Senator Andy Menard, Democratic State Senator from Bunker Hill. Senator Menard, thank you so much for joining me this morning on the Sunday Spin.
You bet. Thanks for having me, Rick.
We'll be back with more right after this. Yep.